Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this day is the gospel where you heard the Pharisees. This man receives sinners. It's interesting to listen to what people say, in this case, the Pharisees. Sometimes they speak the truth in spite of what they might think. Sometimes things are said that are rather ironic. Sometimes things are humorous, and sometimes things that people say are just wrong. The other day, our dear friend Francis said something that has caused a bit of controversy in the world of Christianity. Pope Francis said that non-believers would be forgiven by God if they follow their conscience. Writing to an atheist, Francis said, "You ask me if the God of the Christians forgives those who don't believe and who don't seek the faith. I start by saying, and this is the fundamental thing, that God's mercy has no limits if you go to Him with a sincere and contrite heart. The question for those who do not believe in God is to follow their own conscience. Sin, even for a non-believer, is when it goes against one's conscience." Unquote, and quoting again, to listen and to follow your conscience means that you understand the difference between good and evil. Certainly some of what Francis wrote is true, but merely following one's conscience does not save a person. What does the Word of God say? Titus says this. The letter to Titus says, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and the unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work." What good can a defiled conscience do? Will that lead to life? Of course not. Or Galatians says this, "We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have also believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified." The clear conscience of a good man is useless to save. Faith in Christ saves. Faith in Christ cleanses the guilty conscience, not good living. Christ is the Savior. Jesus saves. Peter proclaimed under the Spirit's guidance, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved." Jesus came for sinners. He came to save those who had a bad conscience and those who have a good conscience. We hear in today's gospel lesson, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" The Pharisees spoke the truth, though they didn't really know it. Jesus does receive sinners. Jesus came to rescue sinners, even those who were in the church and who have wandered away. Jesus seeks sinners. So He taught the parable of the lost sheep. One sheep is lost, and the faithful shepherd leaves the 99 others behind in safety to look for the lost one. And so Jesus says there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need no repentance. In dealing with the self-righteous Pharisees, Jesus teaches that God spares no effort to save sinners. Jesus did not just care, He acted. God acted. He's sending His Son, Jesus, to be the good shepherd. And the good shepherd would be the one who would lay down his life for all the sheep. Seeking and welcoming the lost is the purpose of the church. It is not to leave the lost in their unbelief, as the Pope does with this address to the atheist. That's what that address does. Rather, the church should seek to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and indeed care for all. We ought to care about those that we know who have fallen from the faith, as well as those that we know who have never been in the faith. We are especially concerned about those who have left the Lord's table behind. That is, let me be clear here, our friends, our relatives who once worshiped, but who are now lost, wandering in the wilderness. We must remind them that faith in Christ alone saves. Whatever they've done or haven't done that is wrong can indeed be forgiven. Adultery, theft, murder, abortion, whatever, grace abounds. Jesus welcomes sinners, and he seeks them out. He took all guilt, all shame, all failures, and nailed them to the cross. All this that all might be forgiven. Salvation is full and it is free. But our works, obeying our conscience, have never had anything to do with our salvation. No, indeed, Christ did it all so that we all might rely upon him. Something we can rely upon, not our efforts, our obeying our conscience. The scribes and the Pharisees were confident in their positions. They thought that they were the wise. They were proud of their consciences, their positions, thinking that they were saved by all the good that they were doing, obeying the law. But how wrong they were. Jesus welcomes sinners. Indeed, Jesus eats with sinners, and today he comes to feed sinners again with his body and blood. He comes to feed us with that food that forgives, all that we might leave here today, confident that we are living in spirit-created faith and spirit-bestowed forgiveness. The faith that recognizes its lost condition and confesses its sins and believes in the gift of God's forgiveness, his gift for us in Jesus. We can go on and rejoice that God and all of heaven rejoices with us, and that someday he will call us to his home where we might live forever in his heavenly joy. The Lord invites all to confess their sins, to lay it down at the cross that they might be healed. Francis, unfortunately, is mistaken. Obeying one's conscience will indeed perhaps make for good citizens, but it does not save. But true peace and forgiveness is only in and through Christ Jesus, the one who seeks and saves the lost. Live with him in his word, in his sacraments, in his kingdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.